Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you buy a lottery ticket, what are the odds that you will win a multi-state Powerball lottery? It is 1 in 185 million. If you play high school baseball, what are your odds of playing in the MLB? 1 in 6,600. That is also the same odds as someone guessing your pin on the very first try. What are your odds to be struck by lightning? 1 in 3 million. And a man named Roy Sullivan holds the world record for the most amount of times being struck by lightning. It is 7. But the most important, what are the odds question, though, is this. What are the odds that a man brutally beaten and crucified by the Roman Empire would come back to life? The odds might seem unlikely, but get this. It happened. It really happened. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The goal of this sermon is for us to profess Easter and for us to possess Easter. Easter happened. That's profess. Easter is happening in me. That's possess. Today, we wrap up our series on the book of Exodus, and we come to chapter 15. What are the odds that a group of Israelite state slaves would defeat the most powerful military in the ancient world? The Egyptians, led by the mean and mighty Pharaoh. The drama begins in chapter 1 when it says the Egyptians put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor who worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard work in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. But it gets worse. Exodus 5 has the decree, no longer give the people straw to make bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks before. Do not reduce the quota. But again, it gets worse. As the Israelites are fleeing Egypt, Pharaoh and his army behind them, and as they look over their shoulder, they see him saying, you'll have hell to pay. But it gets even worse. The Israelites become surrounded and stuck on all sides. And so they complain to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? And just when the odds were completely against Israel, we come to chapter 15, verses 4 to 5. Pharaoh's chariots and armies, he is hurled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depth like a stone. No wonder they sing, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And in verse 3, they say, Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. But all of this is just a peek, a prelude, and a preview into the Bible's greatest against all odds story. Fast forward 1,400 years. Opposition began early in Christ's ministry. Pharisees plot with Herodians. Detractors say he's demon-possessed. Scribes test him with Torah trivia. His own brothers ride and ridicule him. Sadducees posture with Pentateuchal pride. It gets worse, though. Christ will have hell to pay. Once arrested, he is bound, accused, blindfolded, and mocked. But it gets worse. They strip him naked and beat him into a bloody pulp. But it gets even worse. He is blood-soaked and nailed to a tree for 6 hours. He is crucified, died, dead, and buried. And just when everyone thought it was all over, when it was all done, the angel announces, he is not here. He is risen just as he said. Mary shouts, Rabboni. And Thomas says the words for the ages, my Lord and my God. Against all odds, Jesus lives. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The goal of this sermon is for us to profess Easter and to possess it. Easter happened, that's profess, but Easter is happening in me, that's possess. But there can be barriers, though, to us possessing Easter. Maybe you grew up in a family that just didn't unfortunately work. Sometimes it seems in life we can run into people who are like walking zombies because when they were children, something was broken inside. And now they're a third or halfway through life, and they're starting to think that what's broken will never be fixed. What was lost will never be found. They hurt. I'm talking about the 1 in 3 whose parents got divorced. I'm talking about the 1 in 4 who were abused. I'm talking about the 1 in 7 who grew up in a rough home. You can feel as though the odds are against you. Maybe you experienced a devastating loss. For some, that might mean a spouse died, or a child died, or your parent died, or maybe your dream died. For some, it might be the will to live has died. And most days, it can feel like Mount Everest is sitting on your chest, crushing what's left of your life. You feel as though the odds are against you. Or maybe you're crippled by a destructive habit. What is it for you? Gambling, drugs, alcohol, work? I once sadly heard a guy say, I spent my entire childhood feeling invisible. There was no abuse or other stuff like that. I just felt invisible. I wanted to say, hello, I'm here, I'm below. I'm a little person with a love-starved heart. Would you notice me and see me and convince me that I matter? And it never happened. And he dabbled in stuff he shouldn't have. Can you relate to these things? Do you feel as though the odds are against you? A man named Lee Capps knows what that is like. All the odds were against Lee. Lee didn't know how to fly, and he took off in a private plane with a friend who was a pilot. And when they got up to cruising altitude, Lee's friend unfortunately suffered a tragic and sudden heart attack and died. And so Lee grabbed the radio and calls out for help. And an air traffic controller in Washington heard Lee's cry. He said, "This is your lucky day. I'm not only an air traffic controller, I'm also a flight instructor. Flight instructor, would you be interested in a flying lesson?" And desperate for his life, he said, "Yes, most definitely." And so the controller said, "Lee, you're going to have to do this without any practice. No spring training, no dress rehearsal. You're going to have to land this on your own." And Lee Capps came in, swerving all over the place. He was to the left and to the right, and he hit the runway pretty hard. But he walked away from it all with only a few minor cuts. Afterward, the air traffic controller was interviewed, and they said, "Did you really think he would make it alive?" And he responded, "Folks, Lee Capps made it against all odds." I know stuff is going on. A whole lot of stuff can be going on. Life is not easy. We can be circling the runway and trying to land. Our fear can be that we might crash and burn. But let me remind you of two honest to God facts. Against all odds, Israel made it out of Egypt. But better yet, Jesus Christ is risen today. We profess Easter with every ounce of our being, and we long to possess it with every ounce of our being. And in Romans 8, Paul says we can. He says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." Through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, Easter happens in us. God promises resurrection for everything that looks so lifeless, so hopeless and dead. He promises forgiveness, life and salvation, a new beginning, a fresh start. And John, Jesus puts it this way, "Because I live, you also will live." As a result, with the Israelites, we can't help but say and sing, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Easter happened. That's profess. Easter is happening in you. That's possess. Because He lives, you live. We live now and we will live forever. And we have a word for all of this. What would that be? Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In His name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who has been raised. Amen.